You have no idea how intimidating it is sitting on a little plastic white stool in front of 200 people, perhaps you're 200, with only a microphone between me and you. And clearly, I don't speak Danish, so I do apologize for that. But I kind of hope that you do speak English, right? Yeah? Does everyone understand what I'm saying? It's reminding me of a talk that a very, 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 very senior brother made in Nairobi about 30 years ago. He was one of the original eternal chaps that started the organization that is putting on this tonight. And he was giving this talk in a hall in Nairobi. It was in the days when not many people came to our talks, so things have changed. In fact, in this particular time, only one person came. So things are looking up. Anyway, this guy looked really interested, you know. And so Jagdish was his name. You can Google him if you like. Jagdish Brahmakumaris. Very humble guy, very brainy guy, very eloquent guy. In fact, you might say a bit over-eloquent because he was well known for making speeches containing 4,670 points that went on for 2.5 hours. However, he had to give this speech. There was this one person there, very humbly. He got up, gave his speech in English. And then afterwards, he thought, well, you know, this guy has come. You know what's going on. Yeah. 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 The guy didn't speak English. Scary, isn't it? Oh, well. So, thanks for having me, and it's really lovely to be here. I feel very warm inside looking at your eyes, and I noticed that you're all awake still, which is good. Tonight, I think, you know, I do not speak Danish, and the only poster is in Danish. So I kept asking Sonia, what is the meaning of this poster? And it's about inner inspiration from within, how to become the leader of your own life. Right. So tonight, you will become, well, maybe I should ask, who thinks they're the leader of their own life now? Oh, none of you, huh? All of you, some of you. Hands up, come on, hands up. Who I lead my life? And then who isn't quite sure? Okay. Who knows they don't? All right, come on up. We're going to have some fun. Yeah. Right. Well, do you know, I never quite know what I'm going to say before I say it, so I do apologize for not having a kind of a speech. But I'm very inspired by this hall and the four pillars in the hall. Do you notice the four pillars? Yeah. I really like them. They look very strong to me, and in fact, they've presumably got the whole building standing on them. So they're quite a good metaphor. Metaphor, an all right word for me to use amongst a bunch of Danish people, yeah? Okay, sorry. So they're quite a good metaphor for life, yeah? Like, the building is your life, and the building is on four pillars. I think Sonia mentioned Raja Yoga. Do you remember? You may think I'm not speaking in sequiturs, in things that follow on, but trust me, I will wind this up together. So in Raja Yoga, does everyone know what that means? Does everyone know what yoga means? Who does yoga here? So you all know what it means, don't you? You know that it means that I'm able to put my right foot. Yeah, that's what yoga means. No, it doesn't actually. It's very simple. The word yoga isn't a milk drink from the Danish milk marketing board. It means connection, link. And in fact, I'm just checking now, you are all, whether you like it or not, some of you, yeah, you're all having yoga with me because you're all concentrating on me, yeah? And it's kind of well known that whatever you have yoga with, you become like that. Did you know that? If you think about something long enough, you'll become like that. It's scary, isn't it? So if you think about ice cream long enough, in fact, the fundamentals of education are all about yoga. Is everybody here like vaguely educated? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. Are there any doctors in the house? Oh, it's interesting. So if someone has a heart attack, we're going to have trouble tonight. Well, think about when you want to become a doctor. Who knows what you do when you want to become a doctor? Oh, no wonder none of you are doctors. Well, you think to become a doctor, you go to medical school and work really hard for 5 to 7 years, right? But that's not how you become a doctor. Well, it may be how you become a doctor, but it's not really how you become a doctor. There are really a couple of things you do. Does anyone want to become a doctor now? Now I'm telling you how simple it is? Yes. So this is what you're going to have to do. And you've done the first thing. The first thing you have to do when you want to become a doctor is say, I want to become a doctor. Because, I mean, can you imagine becoming a doctor kind of spontaneously, by mistake? Doesn't work. So you've got to make the decision, I want to become a doctor. And then, guess what? What you do to become a doctor is you go and find another doctor. And you have yoga with that doctor for 5 to 7 years. And magically, you become a doctor. That's how it works. Now, if the doctor isn't around, you can take a book, a kind of surrogate doctor, no problem. But essentially, what you do is you have yoga with that, and you become like that. Yeah. So whatever you're going to have yoga with, you're going to become like it. And we, in the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University in Danish, whatever that is, teach meditation, which I do not like the word meditation, and I'll tell you why I don't. But we teach Raja Yoga, so it's like connection. But this word Raja, who knows what Raja means? Come on. Raja, the British Raj. Remember that? Like, does everyone know that term, the British Raj in India? Royal. Who said that? It does. It means royal. It means king. So when you come to the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University meditation department, you are actually, whether you know it or not, and whether they dare tell you or not, you're actually learning Raja Yoga, which means the yoga to become a king. It's a pretty good deal, huh? Who's the king of queen of Denmark? What's her name? Margaret. So Denmark's taken, and I know England's taken. And so there aren't that many kingdoms available, are there? But there is one that's available. Does anyone know what that is? Yeah, the kingdom of the self. Yeah, and this is kind of winding back to the subject of today's talk, you know? Basically, it's all about how can I be my boss, my own boss, my own king? How can I be in charge of me? Yeah? So, hands up, who put their hands up first time when I asked them if they thought they were in charge of their life? Come on. This is actually a little way of me making sure you stay awake. Because, you know, Raj Yoga's, you know, we do meditation, and with meditation comes sleep, you know, that's the problem. By the way, is there anyone who's never been to a talk by the Brahma Kumaris here tonight, here for the first time? Right, so I better behave. Okay. I thought you'd all... Sonia said, oh, yeah, everyone's come before, everyone knows us, no problem. So, yeah. So, anyway, You, who put your hands up? Who are in charge of your lives? Okay, all right. And the rest of you, basically, except for two, said that you weren't sure. Well, I got a little bit of bad news for everybody. Do you mind if I give you bad news? I mean, this is kind of a bit of a kind of, you know, I'm hauling you in because I will, I hope, be giving you good news at the end. But there is definitely bad news, and that is that although I don't know many of you, a few I know kind of vaguely, and Sonia I know pretty well because we were both started studying this Raj Yoga quite a while ago. But all of you, I really kind of don't know. I'm just looking at you and going, I feel as though I'd like to know you because you all look very friendly. And I hope, you know, I like the Danish, you know? So I know how you live your lives. And I can almost hear you saying, hey, buddy, you don't know me. So, okay, oh, Sonia, where are you? All right. Did you tell them that they shouldn't believe a word? Did you remember to tell them they shouldn't believe a word I say tonight? Oh, okay. So let me warn you. Don't believe, I'm serious about this, don't believe a word I say to you tonight. And I really don't want you to. But what I would ask you to is test to see what it is that I explained to you tonight, whether or not it works. And then if it works, you make the decision. Yeah, I'll take it or I won't take it. Yeah. And if you don't like it, okay, put it in a box somewhere and no problem. But what I'd like to tell you is that I know the formula by which every single person in this room, including me, is living by. You know, when you strip away all the details, I can tell you that you live by a single formula. And I'm going to tell it to you. It's the fundamental formula for life, the universe, and everything. So it's pretty good value. Are we charging tonight? I don't think we are. So for no money at all, tonight you're going to find out the fundamental formula by which the whole human race work. And in fact, this formula is so powerful that it completely controls everything that we know. Politics, education, commerce, everything. Family life. You have been running this formula since very soon after you popped out of your mummy's tummy. Are you interested to know what it is? Can there be a single formula where every single person in this room is living by? It doesn't seem kind of right, does it? Sort of, you're probably thinking, God, this is an idiot. What's he doing here? Well, let's check it out, okay? Oh, did Sonia tell you that I was in advertising? So that means my credibility isn't very good with you. Is it? No. Okay, well, I hope by the end of the evening, you know, you will have seen the error of my ways and it'll all be all right and you've forgiven me. But funny enough, we in the advertising business somehow know about this formula. And when I was in the business, which I'm not now, when I was in the business, we really did use it to very great effect. So I'm now going to tell you the formula by which every single one of you live your life. And you'll be able to test this, not by thinking about your whole life, which I'm sure is terribly interesting and extremely complicated, but do the test right now. See whether you're living by this formula I'm going to tell you about right now as you're sitting here in the room. And then you can expand it out to this morning, last week, last month, last year, da-da-da-da-da-da, all the way back. So right now, this is the way you are living. Oh, did I tell you? It's the wrong formula. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not good. All right, I think you're ready for it. Okay, sorry. Is everyone, you're not impatient with me. I can almost hear you going. Yeah. All right, so here it is. When I say it, when I say it, you're going to go, oh, God. So anyway, I'll risk that. Okay, here it is. What's going on? So how do I feel? That, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, is the formula by which you are living right now. What's going on? So how do I feel? We'll do the test. Some of you, I'm sure, are going, what's going on? Anthony is just brilliant. What an incredible speaker. I'm staying. This is great. Or, at the other end of the spectrum, there may be some of you thinking, this guy is a blithering idiot. Let me get out of here. And you'll kind of look at your watch and you'll go, oh, forgot something, and you'll run out the room, or something. Because actually, if you think about it, everything in life is all about making sure that life is delivering to you certain very fundamental qualities. And it's very interesting what these qualities are. And you tell me whether or not I'm right about you personally. Every single one of us in this room want peace of mind. The absence of worry and stress. Every single one of us in this room wants to love and be loved. Interesting, huh? Every one of us wants happiness, contentment. Every single one of us, above almost everything, values authenticity or purity. I mean, just think about how you're judging me right now. If you think I'm very authentic, you'll be going, oh, he's really good. If you think I'm just some kind of loud-mouthed advertising twit, maybe you're not so happy with what you're hearing from me. So it's all about your judgment of my purity, my authenticity. And everybody wants to feel empowered. So these fundamental qualities, kind of like the hand of destiny, peace, love, happiness, contentment, purity. And when I sit in the middle of those, I am powerful. Pretty good, huh? And what we do in our lives, all of us, is work hard to orchestrate life such that it delivers, as best as possible, those things. We get ourselves a nice husband, a nice wife, a nice girlfriend, a nice boyfriend, a body that works, good education, nice house, nice second house, nice car, nice Ferrari, you know, goes on and on and on. And we juggle it all up, and when we get it right, we sit back and we go, oh, this is great, I've made it. Yeah? And then when it goes wrong slightly, especially when we're brought out, when we can work hard at it, at kind of remediating the situation, we can get a great deal of significance and fulfillment, the feelings of significance and fulfillment, by organizing and orchestrating our life such that everything is right for ourselves and our loved ones, our friends, etc., etc. And when we get it right, juggle it all up, yes, I am the king of my life. And I'm kind of presuming that those of you that put your hand up and said that you believe and you feel, and probably, you know, quite correctly in your mind, that you are in charge of your life, that it's really about that. It's that you feel as though you have the ability and you are being successful in the process of juggling the bits and pieces of life, and by and large, it's pretty good. And if things go wrong, well, you scurry around and you get it to go right, yeah? But I'm kind of looking around at you and I'm figuring that all of us here are, well, I know I'm pretty old and haggard. I wouldn't say you're old and haggard, but you're old enough and haggard enough to recognize that things don't always go according to plan. And sometimes they can be quite out of our control. And, you know, I think I could pretty well accurately say that there probably isn't a person in this room who doesn't have at least some concern over the environment, you know, over the economic situation, over the impending bird flu, swine flu pandemic, over, you know, what George Bush really has started, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There seems to be quite a lot of things that are out of our control. And in fact, things can go out of one's control on a very personal level. If I lose my job, or if there's some horrible thing that happens in my relationship, or maybe something happens with my body, and my good health goes away and there's nothing I can do about it. And so you see that when we operate this formula that seems really quite sensible, and as I say, the advertising people of this world do know about it, and actually one of my clients was the Coca-Cola Company of Atlanta, Georgia, and it was us that did pen the phrase, "Things go better with Coke." Think about it. But you know, I know that we're all, you know, pretty cynical about that sort of thing, but actually all of us, you're all very well dressed. I must say, in Denmark, everyone dresses well. So clearly you go through the process every morning of remediating your life situation by getting in front of the mirror and going, nice clothes, yeah, I'll put them on. Think about it. What's going on? So how do I feel? Who here has had what we call in England a bad hair day? What if it was kind of chilly? What if it was kind of chilly in this room right now? And the window is open. Oh, I'm a bit cold. Let's shut the window. Think about it. What's going on? I'm cold. Let's fix it. So the whole of life is this in and out, and it's very, very small. Now, the problem with this particular formula, which seems so real, and when you... Oh, by the way, has everyone done what I've told them and not believe a word I say and analyze whether or not it is that they are actually doing this formula right now as we sit here? And I think, is anyone not living by that formula? Good. Because I know I am, and here I am telling you that it's just not right, and I'm actually living by it, so it's a problem. Because I have to tell you, if you were all fast asleep or, you know, sort of making rude comments at me, I'd kind of feel bad. So I quite like it when you laugh at my cheap jokes and things like that. Because it's not easy up here, as I say. This thing might fall over. So, there's really bad news about this formula, and I want to just kind of advise you of this, because this formula is actually the formula of the addict, the drug addict. Really is. Drugs are good, feel good. Drugs are bad, feel bad. Get better drugs. Get more drugs. Yeah? Who's had a midlife crisis here? I have. I think everybody has, by the laughter. Yeah. Yeah, do you know what a midlife crisis... Do you know how you're having a midlife crisis? It's when you wake up in the morning and you go, is this all there is? Yeah. Normally, when you're a 45-year-old male, you trade in your 45-year-old wife for a 24-year-old wife because everyone wants to feel significant and fulfilled. And if your 45-year-old wife is lucky, she doesn't get traded in for a 24-year-old. She gets traded in for, or not even traded in, just you get a sort of additional Ferrari or something. Or you put all your energy into the children. Or, sadly, some alcohol or drugs or more and more work. And if you look at our society and the way people approach everything, it's really very much in terms of trying to fill the center of the self, which seems to be kind of empty. And there's a reason for that, but unfortunately, unless you have until midnight, we could really get into it, but maybe for another day. So this is a problem, this old formula, isn't it? Is it a problem? Can you live with it? Do you want to live with it? Does it sound as though you should continue to live it? When you're living it, do you really feel as though you're in charge of your life? Because believe me, when you're living it this way, you are officially a ping pong ball. What's going on? So how do I feel? It means, by the way, and this is a really, 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 really horrible thing I'm about to tell you now. Do you realize that right now, as we speak, I own your happiness? Yes. Now you're saying, oh, what are you talking about? Yes, I do. Can you imagine if I started to be really crazy and started strangling you or spitting at you or insulting you? What would you do? You would remediate the situation. You go, whoa, this guy's crazy. Let's call the police. Let's subjugate him. Let's run out of the room. Let's do whatever it takes to create an okay situation. Can you imagine if I was boring you? Am I boring anyone? Because this would tell you what you'd do if I was boring you. You'd kind of go, you know, you'd leave. And I'm sure many of you have kind of left boring talks. Because that's what we do. In fact, do you remember what we teach at the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University in Danish? We teach Raja Yoga, the yoga of the kings. And this formula is not the yoga of the kings. This formula is the formula of the slave. Because when we live by this formula that everybody lives by all the time, basically, our feelings of peace and love and happiness, contentment, purity and power, all those things, are controlled by what's going on outside. And we think that by organizing what's going on outside and then responding by being peaceful, loveful, happy, contented, etc., 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 we are creating our kingdom. But we're not. When you think about it in this way, we're actually creating our slavedom. And when whole groups of people, when whole nations do this, you can see that there's, you know, things like the way we govern ourselves, the way the economics is made up. It all is created because of this formula, the formula of the slave. So, I've called you addicts, I've called you slaves, I've told you you're not in charge of your lives. Well, you know, the title was, you know, creative inspiration, how can I get control of my life? So I had to kind of set you up this way. And I hope you aren't too insulted. Really, my purpose for speaking to you in this way is to just give us a kind of a window, a clear view of a way of looking. It's just a way of looking at life. And I hope that maybe you could say, well, gee, that's not good. I really much prefer to be king of my life. And so, luckily, there is a formula to be the king of your life, to be self-sovereign. Yeah? Would you like to know what it is? Yeah? Sonia, are you sure we're not charging tonight? We're giving the fundamental formula of life itself without even asking for money? This is incredible. Okay? Very good. Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so, right. So before I tell you this formula, I have to ask, because we have been using the formula word, which sort of implies kind of mathematical thinking, really, if you think about it. Who likes maths here? Well, not very many of you. A few. Who doesn't like maths? Yeah, a few of you, yeah? Everyone else doesn't know whether they don't like maths or not. You never took maths. Well, I took maths for A-level in England, which is a sort of exam you have to pass, otherwise the only alternative is to commit suicide. And in the first lesson of my maths class up to the A-level, the guy started talking, and I knew at that moment that in 2 years' time I was going to fail the exam. It was horrible. But anyway, I would like you to have a slight bit of mathematical thinking now, because I would like you, before I tell you the fundamental formula for life, which is the correct one, the formula of the king, I need you to get into what I call algebra consciousness. Yeah? Would that be okay? Algebra consciousness? Did everyone take algebra in school? Yeah? Nods all around? Okay. Well, I did, but I didn't really understand most of it. But I do remember on the first day, my teacher, when I went to school, it was like blackboards. Do you remember the nails going down? Yeah? Well, we had blackboards, and she drew an X. X. Right? Do you remember? X. Algebra. Great. I get it. No problem. X. Algebra is X. And then it kind of got really weird and a bit more complicated because then she drew a Y. X, Y, algebra. Fine. And then the wheels fell off quite significantly because she drew X equals Y. What? Okay. And then it got way too complicated for me because, you know, she said, well, if X equals Y, then Y equals X. Do you remember that? Because that's as far as you need to go with your algebra consciousness. So get your algebra consciousness going. And who can repeat to me what was the formula for life that we're all operating under that is incorrect? I have this theory that no one ever listens to a word I say. We'll find out. Yes. How do I feel? What's going on? So how do I feel? Is it working for you? Do you realize that that's how you're living your life? What's going on? You're being asked a question in public. How do I feel? Not great. I don't want to answer this. Yeah. It's actually very, very, very fundamental. It's very fundamental. And we have to do this to just get some clarity over where... Because, you know, have you ever seen the sweep second hand of a watch? Look at your watch. If it's an old one, you'll see a sweep second hand. Yes? And you will notice that at the far end of the second hand, as it's going round, is going really relatively fast. And right at the center, it's moving hardly a little. Yeah? Because when we can get right to the center, to the core, right to the middle, then by very, very small adjustments there, we can have a very huge effect on our life. So it's really worthwhile if you can discover the center point and do some little bit of work on that center point, you can create a huge difference in life. And that's really what we're doing here, in, I hope, rather a playful way. So you do remember, at least one person here remembers the old formula. What's going on, so how do I feel? So, algebra consciousness now. I am now going to reveal, and the time is 7:45 on the 8th of May, 2009. This was the moment that you learnt the fundamental for formula for life. Pretty good, huh? Ready? So the old formula was, what's going on, so how do I feel? The new formula, how do I feel? Now what's going on? Yes, that's all it is. How do I feel? Oh, that's an interesting question. If I've been living by that first formula all my life, ever since my parents got their hands on me and society and the advertising people got their hands on me, really there's only one answer I can give to that question. And the answer has to be, I don't know. How do I feel at my origin? Because it's the same question as, who am I? Who am I? At my origin, before it all, you know, the catastrophe called my life started, where was I? Where's my point of beginning? Where's my powerful platform that I stand on? This is actually the first of the three great spiritual questions. Who am I? There are suspicious indications. Who here is a mother? A mummy? Come on, hands up. I'm going to put my hands up, but I'm not a mummy. I just want to show you what it looks like. So there are quite a few of you here. Who here is a dad? Dads, hands up, dads. So between the two of you, mums and dads, is quite a lot of you are responsible for the human race. That's great. Who's not? So you're just not going to relate to what I'm saying. But you have to trust me here. So you mums, I hope you'll agree with me on this. And I've done this talk quite a few times, and I haven't had anyone screaming at me saying, "Ah, it's not like that." But provided the circumstances of a birth are good, so it's not a breech birth or there's some problems, etc., etc. But when the birth is good and easy, this newborn munchkin, this newborn baby that emerges from mummy's tummy, it's absolutely amazing what the newborn baby is like, because pretty well everybody who experiences this newborn, provided there aren't any problems, and in my case, I have to tell you, there was a problem because I popped out and the first thing they did was turn me upside down and whack me on the backside. But that's a whole other story. Nowadays, they don't do that. But normally when a newborn baby emerges, the baby emerges and it's just extraordinary how peaceful that being is. This newborn life comes into the world as a fundamentally peaceful being. And then think about what happens next. This baby is taken almost straight away and placed skin to skin against mummy's breast. And the first thing that happens in that baby's life is the receipt and the giving of love. So already, you see, in the first moments of life, in the first moments of your life, you apparently were a being of great peace whose first act and activity was to receive and give love. And you didn't even think. You weren't even thinking. Just love was there. And if you think about the scene, it's a scene of great happiness. A new life has begun. Nothing more is needed. So there's complete contentment. And let me tell you, that baby, in its first moments of life, will never be more pure than at that time. If I did a biopsy of all of your left cheeks, we'd find dioxin in them. Yeah? So you see that really we're in a world that's pretty, and that's just the physics of it. Think about the things that go on in the head. And here's something that I'd like to add. I would like to tell you that in my view, that baby will never be more powerful than at that moment of its birth. I can hear you all saying, "What are you talking about? It's a little tiny thing. It's got no muscles at all. It's not powerful." But here, I want to just give you another view of what power is. Think of power as being able to get something done without too much effort. More power means you can get more done with even less effort. More power still means you can get even more done with even less effort. And of course, if you want to be almighty, you can get everything done with no effort at all. Now you think about that newborn baby. That newborn baby can't even think yet. It's just sitting there enjoying life. Yet the whole world is spinning around it. Mummy and daddy and the grandparents and the hospital and society itself, everything. But I can almost hear you say, "Well, hold on a minute, Anthony, that's okay, yeah, right, sure. But, I mean, that's what society's set up to do. So it's not really powerful, we're just like helping it along. So, okay, let's do a little mental experiment, shall we?" Now, I've been working very hard for the last nearly an hour to try and get you to know, love, and trust me. So let me just ask you, who knows, loves, and trusts me? Right. You've no idea. Does anyone want to come up here and have a go? Because it's not easy, you know? Standing up, sitting down on my little plastic stool, which really doesn't fit very well, trying to get you to believe what I say, you know, I don't know, what's going on here, right? So I'm working real hard. Yeah, remember the, you know, what, you know, work hard to get something done? So clearly I'm not really very powerful. But okay, let's just, in your mind's eye, after this talk, you will be, I hope, you will be going home. And I don't know how you're going to get home, but I'm presuming you're going to walk out the front door of this building and you're going to do some maneuvering around the streets of Copenhagen, and you may even cross one or two. But I just want you to imagine that when you walk out of this building, a few yards up the road as you're walking, you see someone sitting in the middle of the road, kind of like this. Right? And that someone is me. Now, I want to ask you, what do you do? Let me tell you what you do. You go, whoa. And you make a great big arc around me. Yeah? Okay, so that's the effect I've had on you with all this work. And I've been giving you the fundamental formulary of life. I mean, you know, a great donor has never been seen before in your life. Now let's place this little tiny newborn baby. What do you do? Who's more powerful? There is great power in complete purity and innocence. Great power. So, by this little game, mental game we've been playing by thinking about these newborn babies, it seems suspicious that actually, because are there any Martians here? There are a few people with antennae coming out of their heads, but I think that's just because you don't speak English, right? So, sorry, I thought you were a Martian. Because I was going to say, as long as you're not a Martian, you were all little tiny babies. So presumably, all of us have been at the beginning of our life. So all of us, it seems, have been at the origin where we were beings of complete peace, happiness, love, purity, contentment, and power, all of us. So when I say to you, and I look in your eye, and I say, my darling, you are a being of complete peace and happiness and purity and power and love. And I can almost hear you saying, no, I'm not. So that's a problem, isn't it? Do you know the happiness and the peace and the feelings of authenticity? You can get them from outside. Who here doesn't want to win the next big Spanish lottery? Right? Right, it's pretty good. If you win the lottery, I'm presuming you feel just great. Right? And there's all sorts of other things that make you happy and give you peace and give you the feeling of love and power. But the problem is, it's the old formula, it's from outside. And when I tell you that you are that already, and the evidence seems to be that when you're a little baby, you had that. When you're a little child, you had that. But somehow, we've lost the plot. We've forgotten. We've just plain forgotten. And in the forgetting, we haven't forgotten that we need love and peace and happiness and contentment, authenticity and empowerment. And we have spent our lives trying to get it. Does anyone know the ancient Indian myth of the queen who lost her necklace? Many, many years ago in ancient times, there was a queen, a great queen, who lost her necklace. And so, like most queens, I don't know whether yours does this, but like most queens that lose their necklaces, she summoned all her courtiers and ministers and all the subjects in her kingdom and said, get out there and look for my necklace. It's got to be somewhere behind a tree or under a stone or in someone's cupboard. Go on, out there. And she herself, scurrying around the palace, looking here and there and thither and yon, and of course, guess what? She passed a mirror one day. And she looked in the mirror, and lo and behold, there around her very own neck was her necklace. She'd lost it, and she'd been wearing it all the time. And that ancient myth, it's a well-known myth in the East, that ancient myth is a myth about us. Here we are looking, we've been using, and we have been encouraged, because believe me, your parents, they taught you the first formula. Your government teaches you that formula. Your education system teaches you that formula. The advertising people teach you that formula. We're in the grip of it. And in fact, some of you may be thinking, wow, this guy Anthony, he's really clever. He's really given me something to think about. I think I'm going to only live by the second formula from now on, right? Some of you thinking that? Well, yeah, it's a good thing to think about. So let's all live by the second formula, and then we will be self-sovereign, king of our lives. And so we can live by it right now. I am a being of peace and happiness. I may have forgotten, but I'm going to remember now. And I'm listening to Anthony, great. And then you walk out to the parking lot where your car is parked. And just before you open the door, you see that someone's bashed your car. Finish. Yeah? The whole of life is kind of conspiring to just take us away from that, from really getting started with that original formula. So if we've forgotten, then what do we have to do? Clearly, when you forget something, the answer is to remember. And actually, this word meditation, you know, the Brahma Kumaris teach meditation. Well, I don't really like the word meditation too much. And the reason why I don't like meditation, which is probably the reason why the Brahma Kumaris, we, have kind of taken the word, and that is that it kind of, when you hear meditation, kind of spiritual, right? But actually, Raj Yoga is got to be practical. And I much prefer the word remembrance, just to remember who I am. Because if I can really have that so firmly in my mind, so that even when it's not in my mind, it's in my mind. It's just like subatomically my default position, to be in the position, I am a being of complete peace and happiness, purity, contentment, love and power. This is me. So it's like I'm sitting very, very stable on my seat. All of you are seated on your seat right now, and you can see that, you know, you've got your feet on the ground. Not me, I've got this horrible seat here, but you've got good ones that won't move around. When you're seated on your seat properly, it's very stable. And what do kings do? They sit on their throne. Actually, that's how you know they're a king or a queen. You know, if you think about when the king becomes the king, they don't kind of stand up and say, hi guys, I'm the king. They sit there, really, really, on a great big seat, very symbolic. All around the world, whenever you're a king and you want to get crowned, you do it sitting on a throne. It's a very, very deep symbol for all of us. Because when a king is sitting on his throne, he's the king. As soon as the king gets off his throne, he's up for grabs. Somebody can come along with a big axe or something and whack him and grab the seat, he's the king. Right? But as long as we sit on the throne, we're the king. And what we've done by operating this first formula is actually very clearly get off the throne. And we've allowed the outside world to become the master of how we feel. So conceptually, theoretically anyway, it would seem reasonable to try to reclaim the throne, to reclaim my own seat. And we do that by remembering who we are. But it's very tricky. Because when I said you're a being of peace and love and happiness, contentment, purity and power, all of you said, I don't feel that. In fact, many people come and study Raj Yoga who don't feel good, and they come and they do our meditations, and we play squishy music, and we turn the lights down low, and they have a really nice meditation. Some of you may have done this, yes? And you go, wow, I really like coming to the Brahma Kumaris, it's great. Whenever I go to the Brahma Kumaris, I feel great. Well, what's that formula? That's the old formula. All you've done is take Raj Yoga. It's like anything. You might, you know, heroin's pretty good, it's costly. You know, it's a problem. because it's very, very, very subtle and very deep. So we have to be very clear about what's going on. You know, in a minute, we're going to do a little meditation. And I have to tell you that whenever we meditate, like we're going to meditate now, we're not really meditating. What we're doing is practicing to get into a consciousness that we hope, with enough practice, we can take with us for the rest of our life. Who here knows where they were at 9/11? You know, like September the 11th, 2001. Yeah, you know where you were? Who doesn't? Does anyone not know what they were doing when they heard the news? It's amazing. It's like, what, you don't know what you were doing? Yeah, you do know. You do? You don't know. You don't know who you are. You don't know where you are. But most people do. Most people do. I certainly do. Because actually, September the 11th, 2001, was a great red letter day for me, because I found out that after 18 years of studying this Raj Yoga, that it actually worked. Because I myself was, I had a meeting at 11 o'clock that day in the number one tower on the 64th floor. So I was there. And I had the most amazing experience. I wasn't actually in the building. My friend Ram Prakash was, who's another BK actually. And he has another fantastic experience of his great escape, but because he did manage to escape. But I saw the whole thing happening, and I just saw the whole catastrophe. And I really had the most astounding, in fact, I thought I was kind of going crazy. But I recognized that actually what happened to me was the result of the work that I'd been doing for the previous 18 years. Because the problem is, you can't think that this formula is good and just pull it out when times get tough. Say, oh yeah, okay, I'm a being of peace and love and happiness, so when a catastrophe hits me, I'm just going to remember that. Really, the game is to make this understanding of who I really am permanent, so that when something happens, you are really able to operate by this formula. I am a being, I am peaceful. Now, oh look, the building's coming down. Because what happened to me was extraordinary in that when the whole thing was happening, has anyone like passed a really, really important exam in their life? Yeah, have you had that experience of passing a really, and you remember what you feel like? You feel great, don't you? Like, God, I passed. Fantastic. Yeah? Well, I had that feeling the whole time this thing was going on, for the whole day. And I thought, God, am I crazy or what? Yeah? Because, look, if you see a car accident or if you see something terrible happening to someone else, it's kind of almost expected of you to feel awful, isn't it? If you don't feel awful, people say, hang on a minute, are you some kind of like robot or something? Or are you kind of like, do you like seeing people upset? Because actually, this formula that I'm telling you we could probably live by and be kings, the implication of that is that the next time something happens in front of you, you're not going to be upset by it. And that could be a bit intimidating to some people, but it's true. If we're really living by the second formula, then we become no longer the slave to the outside world. We become aware of who we really are, aware of where we're sitting. We sit on our seat of self-sovereignty. We realize who we are, the real I, and we maintain that. And what that does is give us really good qualifications to help. Because let me tell you, if there's a very catastrophic situation and you're freaked out, it's a lot worse than if you're not freaked out. Yeah? And you think about professionals like doctors, et cetera, who are trained in this way. So this is just the training for life. So what we have to do is remember who we are. We have to, actually, I'm afraid, trick ourselves into revealing ourselves to ourselves. And I say trick because it's really difficult to get back, really, for real, to that seat, that position of original consciousness. It's not easy. So it may sound simple, just change the formula, but it's not so easy. And what we have to do, like anything that's not easy, is practice. You know? That's all. And so, would you like me to trick you into revealing yourself to yourself? I mean, people don't like the word trick, but we kind of, I mean, I say this to you kind of in all openness and honesty, in that right now you're probably still, because I know I am, still operating under that first formula. You know, I'm maybe kind of waning a little bit, and oh, maybe I wish he'd shut up, you know. Well, what's going on? Anthony's talking a bit too much. Like, can we get on with this, please? You know, so whether we like it or not, we really are, it's very, very difficult to get out of the first formula. So we do need help. And so what I'd like tonight to do with you is to give you a little technique, if you like, to allow yourself the space to begin to experience, or shall we say, inspirience the self. Would you like to do that? Yeah? Okay. Now, you may think that you're meditating, but I don't want you to think. I just think it's just like using your imagination a bit and remembering, just remembering who I am. Do you know there's a stanza in the in one of the most ancient scriptures that really speaks to this? And I don't know whether anyone knows the Bhagavad Gita. Has anyone studied the Bhagavad Gita? It's a pretty nice book, and some beautiful things saying. And apologies for getting this this quote slightly wrong, but it always inspires me, because there's a piece where they talk about the value of coming into silence and coming into meditation. And the sentence goes something like this. In the silence of meditation, like a candle in a windless place, the self reveals the self to the self. It's nice, isn't it? So let's all kind of go silent inside and see whether we can go on this little journey. Now, those of you who've never been here before, hands up again, because I have some extremely bad news for you. When we do this, you have to keep your eyes open. Is that okay? Now, don't worry if you go to sleep, because I've had plenty of people go to sleep when I do this on them. And do you know why? Does anyone know about brainwave activity? Are there any neuroscientists in the audience? Because you know that right now you're all being terribly attentive and you're listening to me. What's happening is that the waves coming off your brain, if we had little electrodes and could measure them, they'd be fairly fast. And we call that beta wave activity. And that's kind of when you're awake and at it, and let's go for it. And that the more agitated you get and the more angry you get, funnily enough, the faster the waves go. But I don't know whether you knew this, but the faster the waves go, the less intelligent you are. So if you get mad, if you get angry, you're stupid. But on the other hand, when we meditate, what happens is that the brain, you'll kind of feel this, you know, the brain waves kind of go slow down, right? And there's a real problem with that. And here's the deal. The problem is, just before you go to sleep, your brain starts to emit alpha waves. And of course, what's going to happen is that we're going to start this little exercise, and your brain is going to start emitting alpha waves. And your body's going to go, oh, great, time to go to bed. So don't worry, I won't hold it against you. But if you can, keep your eyes open. And here's the reason why. I'm presuming all of you, drive a car or are driven in a car or drive a bicycle or something. And I'm presuming you've all had the wonderful experience in the traffic of somebody behaving extremely badly in the other car, right? Yeah, and you've had to keep your cool. This is a classic case of what's going on, so how do I feel? The guy's cutting me up, I feel terrible, I want to kill him, right? So can you imagine if we did this training and you really got in the mood of I am a being of peace and love and happiness, oh I am. And you really could sit there all the time, just like I'm telling you should. but you could only do it with your eyes closed. It really wouldn't go well for you on the highway. So actually, this is a matter of great practicality. This meditation, this remembrance, all this mumbo jumbo is not about sitting down and staring at dots in the middle of walls and feeling good. It's not about that at all. It's about remembering who I am and having the power to take it with me always in my life. And the only way, it's a bit like jogging. Anyone do marathon running here? So when you started marathoning, when did you do your first marathon? Was it the first or second day after you decided to do a marathon? It wasn't, was it? You had to train. And of course we do. If you did a marathon right after you said, oh, I think I'm going to do a marathon, you'd die. You have to start slowly and practice, and then we get that base so that we can do it really easily without thinking. And that's what we're doing. So, I don't know which way I look, but music, please, someone. So, keep your eyes open. I'm going to... we've played some music here, and this is because we know that you always, or you're still operating by the second formula, or the first formula. You know, what's going on, so how do I feel? Oh, there's nice music, I'm feeling great, I'm feeling calm. But I do have this dream that one day I'll have the guts to play heavy metal music and gunfire. Because actually, when you think about it, this is when we need to be in this state of mind. But we recognize that that may not be quite so pleasant for you at the moment. So we've got some nice music for you in the background. So just chill out. We're going to do something that you, up until now, you've always called meditation. And I'm going to call it remembrance. And in order to kind of get you really in the mood, I just remind some of you to keep them eyes open, okay? And remember, I'm watching you. The reason why I want you to keep your eyes open is because I want you to use your imagination now, and I want you to, with the power of your imagination, I want you to imagine that you're in your own personal, private cinema. And I want you to really build this image in your mind's eye. This is quite a large room with quite a few seats, but yours is right in the middle, in the best seat in the house. And it's very comfortable, and you are sitting in it. And you are quite simply just allowing your eyes to rest on the screen in front of you. Now this cinema is not an ordinary one, because this cinema, what I'd like you to do is imagine that this cinema is right inside your head. And you, the tiny you, are sitting so comfortably right in the middle of your cinema, just allowing your eyes to rest on the screen, which coincidentally is precisely where your eyes are. And on the screen there is a scene. And the scene, as you can so clearly see, is this wonderful hall in which, up until a few moments ago, you were seated. But now, you're no longer seated there. You, the tiny you, are so comfortably seated in your cinema, watching the scene of this hall. And in the scene, there's this guy called Anthony sitting on this funny white stool, just talking And you can hear on the speakers, high up on the walls, just about exactly where your ears are, the sound of the music and the sound of Anthony's voice. Just take a measurement now between the screen and where you're sitting. And you'll find it's about an inch and a half. And really work hard with your power of imagination to allow yourself to enjoy just sitting in your own personal private cinema, observing the screen of your mind. By doing this very simple exercise, we trick ourselves into becoming what we call the detached observer. If we could just turn the music right off now, and just allow yourself to keep sitting in that cinema. And if the mind wanders, just gently say, yeah, I agreed with Anthony that I would construct this cinema behind my eyes, inside my head, and yes, I'm sitting there. Because in this mental position, we are able to ask ourselves the question, as I sit here in my cinema observing the scene in front of me, let me ask myself the question, how do I feel? Am I really this being of peace, of immense love, happiness, contentment? The real me, the authentic me, so pure, myself. This is like the candle in the windless place. And I find that my original language has no sound, but my language is the language of silence. At my origin, at my core, I am a being of complete silence, whose nature is peace. This is soul consciousness. This is the consciousness of the self-sovereign, the king. This is the first step in Raja Yoga. Apparently, we're doing nothing very slowly. But somehow, in the silence, and the silence is real and powerful, in that silence, the self does indeed reveal itself to itself. In this silence, the sovereign finds its seat. In the silence, we come back to the beginning. the powerful platform upon which I can build my life. This is Raja Yoga. Om Shanti. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm looking at the clock behind us, and according to my masters, I must stop blathering on. I do hope that somewhere, somehow, I've been able to share something of real practical use for you in terms of just a way of looking at life, in a way of looking at possibilities for life. Because although I have tried to keep you amused and awake, what I've been saying, certainly in my understanding, is really terribly serious. It's really has great potential for the basis of the rest of our lives. And so if anyone, as long as you speak to me in Danish, no, not in Danish, English, I'll answer any questions, or if anyone has any comments, I'd be delighted to answer any questions. So I'll just, for a couple of minutes, I can throw it open. Does anyone have? Yes, yeah. Remember, English?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. But can you kind of shout it out, because, you know, yeah. Well, I'll repeat anyway, yeah.
First, I would like to say that I really enjoyed this exercise.
Good.
Daily life. I was just wondering, this movie screen, can I use this to sort of, like if I want to visualize something, can I use it as a visualization exercise?
So you're asking whether or not this technique can be used as a visualization exercise. Well, I'm the new thought police for the universe. Oh, yes. You have my blessing. But you know what? I think the key is, you know, this. What I've been trying to explain is that this isn't mumbo-jumbo. It's and you know what? The key is whatever helps. But very importantly, it's really easy to lose the plot. You may think, do you remember I was accusing some of you, and you know who you are, who say, oh, I really like coming to the Brahma Kumaris. When I go there, it's really nice. I feel good. I want to go back. Well, this is like classic addictive behavior. Happily, you're addicted to us, so that's good. You come and see us, and we love seeing you. But it's still slave yoga. And so, yes, use for visualization, no problem. Powerful tool. But just don't lose the plot. Just remember, what's going on? So how do I feel? Is a problem. And that's really my only message tonight. Kind of a simple message. I don't know whether I invented this technique or not, but I kind of somehow use it. And not everybody here probably found it very helpful. Some of you say, well, I just couldn't sit down in the movie theater, you know? And like, well, okay, let's find something else. You know, you might want to sit in a boat, or you might want to sit in front of a window, or, you know, it's like whatever helps you get through the day. So I think it's great that if you do want to use the technique, if you like, for other visualization. But my advice would be that the most important thing anyone can do, more important than getting success in life, is to remember who they are. Because, you know, if you really are sitting on your throne of self-realization, you will automatically always be in the right place at the right time. You are completely qualified to face whatever's in front of you. After all, do you realize that all of you are sitting here as the result of every single experience and event you've ever had in your entire lives? You know, the dominoes reaching back have got you to this seat right here, right now. And that kind of, it's all about kind of fate and destiny and all this kind of stuff. But it means that whatever we face, we are actually completely qualified to face it. But sometimes we forget. And so this process of remembering is the most important thing. It's not easy to remember. That's why if you ever come back, you'll hear us talking about how we need power. Because to do what I've asked you to do requires a great deal of spiritual power. And so the next great question is, where do I get power? Do you remember I told you that if you want to become a doctor, you have to find a doctor, and then you'll become one if you keep concentrating on that doctor? Well, here's a thought for you before we go tonight. I don't know whether you agree with me or not, but in a sense, we're all kind of upside down. We're all operating under that formula, what's going on, so how do I feel? And I hope, maybe some of you, I've convinced that the alternative formula, how do I feel now, what's going on, is the right one. And you might say, gee, that's great, I think I'm going to do that. And as far as we can, we'll sit in doing these techniques to try and remember who we are. But we do need help. And so just like if I want to become a doctor, I go and find a doctor. If I want to become someone who's the right side up, the right way up, what does it mean we have to do? It means we have to find someone who's the right way up. Okay? So hands up, anyone who's ever met anybody who's operating by the second formula. You have? Because I never have. I have never, ever met anyone. Believe me, if you think I am, you're nuts. I try. Actually, I did meet one person, but she's dead. Some of you may know her. Her name was Dadi Kumarka or Dadi Prakashmani. She was the head of the Brahma Kumaris. She was my absolute favorite. And she, actually, in the last 2 years of her life, lost her mind. She became Alzheimer's, you know. And it was only then that I realized the power of the soul and how actually the mind is not really that important. But that real sitting in soul consciousness was just amazingly powerful thing to do. And so, presumably I could have followed Dadi Kumarka around, but I don't think so, because she probably wouldn't have been completely that way all the time. So you do need someone who has never, ever lost the plot. And there's nobody on earth. Because just by virtue of being in a body, you know, we kind of get used to it and we kind of lose it. And so we need someone who's never got screwed up, because we are. Yeah? We're upside down. So we need someone who's the right way up. And that's a problem. That is a big problem. But all is not lost. If you call Sonia, she'll tell you. Hey, I'm only paid to do the first step. There is a solution, and this is a very deeply spiritual one that I won't go into today because it's just not, we don't have time. But it's a beautiful solution, and it's a worthwhile solution. And it's a solution that mankind, womankind, for thousands of years has been trying very hard to come to grips with, and as yet hasn't. And certainly the information is there now to really, really do it, and we can. Any other questions? Yes. I think it was 9/11. 7/11 is where we go when we're hungry at night. Oh, yeah, right, yeah. It was very good. I had to, but you know what, when you're in, I don't want this to become some kind of new age mumbo jumbo thing. She was asking me how I saved myself from 7/11. But I think she meant 9/11. But I made the same mistake, you know, 7/11, 9/11. Well, I didn't really need saving because I wasn't in the building at the time. I was kind of watching it all. And by the time my meeting was due to start, I could honestly say, where's the meeting? Because it really wasn't there. But my experience was an internal one. And it was incredibly powerful because it was like I had this amazing shower of just feeling great for no reason at all. And I realized really afterwards that it's the work I had done for the last 18 years on sitting on, because, you know, like, yeah, I don't get to sit up here because I haven't done a bit. You know, like we get up early in the morning and we sit and we remember and we study all these things that we're talking about and all the by roads and high roads of Raj Yoga. And I don't know about the rest of my brothers and sisters who do this, but, you know, the thought does cross my mind sometimes, does all this hard work really work, you know? Because I am capable of great failure, you know? And I was very, very pleasantly surprised that when something came way out of left field and that I was not expecting, that I was able to pass the test. And that gave me great faith in what I'm doing is right. But, you know, it's like you can't start doing the work when the catastrophe is sitting in front of you. You know, Raj Yoga isn't all about self-hypnosis. I am a peaceful soul. I am a peaceful soul. It's not that at all. You know, I think there's probably quite a lot of good self-hypnosis techniques around, but this isn't. This is about being the boss. This is about sitting at the center of the self, just sitting. But you can't go there and stay there unless you've had lots of practice at it. Yeah? Does that vaguely answer your question? Any other questions? Thank you very much for having me. I don't know what the next step is, but Sonia is going to come and say something. So what's going on? They're clapping me. How do I feel? Great. Do you want this one or that one? Take that one.
Thank you, Anthony. It was great. And thank you to all of you for being such participating audience. It was lovely. And now I can't tell you to come to the center to feel good, so I suppose I got to tell you to stay at home and feel good. But if you wanted to come to the center and feel good anyway, you're welcome.
Come to the center and learn how to eternally feel good, whatever's happening in front of you. That's it.
But tonight's talk has been recorded. Vi har spelat in på en, man kan beställa en DVD eller en lus-CD hvis man vill. Man kan skriva namn och e-mail eller telefon och nummer upp på listan hvis man vill ha det. Eller man kan sända en mail till centret och beställa. Vi tar en halv tresse tror jag för DVD:en och lite mindre för lus-CD. Och sen är det ju inte så mycket. De flesta är väl på mailinglisten så ni följer lite med om vad det sker och vi har det här miljöuppläggkörerna. Vi uppdaterar oss själv på vår miljöbevissthet och vad vi kan göra i världen för att bli bättre till att passa på det urmiljö. Så nästa gång handlar det om vegetarisk mat faktiskt den 18/6. Och så kör vi några serier till efteråret. Det ligger några sedlar där, men ellers så... You will stay around a little bit if someone has a question maybe. And we're here and otherwise thank you for tonight. Thank you.